the following stigmatist, mystic, saint, and doctor of the church, it doesn't get much better than that, Saint Catherine of Siena, will reveal to us in today's video the secret of prayer, as well as the secret of atoning for your sins perfectly. Many of you have been asking for this information. This will be a series that I will be doing throughout the following year on the dialogue of Saint Catherine of Siena, her main work. It is unbelievable. It will blow your mind. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, I want to make this a little bit different than other series. We're going to get into certain questions that she goes in. I'm going to explain a little bit who she is. And towards the beginning of each video, we will pray a prayer that she herself wrote when she miraculously learned to read. Now, I read about her and read this work some time ago. Then with my family, one time I had a chance of going to Siena, Italy, a beautiful little city and town there in Italy where she lived and died. And in the church that is dedicated to her, I found this amazing prayer card with this prayer that as soon as I read it, it just spoke to my heart so much. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. By your power I journey to you, God, and grant me charity with fear. Protect me, O Christ, from every evil thought. Warm me with your sweet love, so that each burden seems light to me. My Holy Father and my sweet Lord, help me always in all my endeavors. Christ's love. Christ's love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the way, before every single video that I have ever made, I have over 600 videos, that's the prayer that I pray. You haven't heard it, but now you hear it. I literally have prayed it every single time before every video. Before I ever talk about the faith, that is my go-to prayer. So Saint Catherine of Siena, she lived in the 1347 to 1380. She's a doctor of the church, and she has this mystical encounter with God the Father. Her conversation, the entire book is her having a conversation with God the Father. She goes straight to number one and begins asking a series of questions. We're going to go into three of them and unpack the meaning for us today. The first one is how a soul elevated by desire for the honor of God and the salvation of her neighbors, exercising herself in humble prayer after she had seen the union of the soul through love with God, asked of God for request. We're just going to go through little portions of it because there's so much to unpack. The soul who is lifted by a very great and yearning desire for the honor of God and the salvation of souls begins by exercising herself for a certain space of time in the ordinary virtues, remaining in the cell of self-knowledge in order to know better the goodness of God towards her. Just that sentence is something you can meditate on for years. So what does this mean? This is how she prays. She continuously talks about this cell of self-knowledge, this small room of self-knowledge. This is how we should begin to pray if we want to meditate and then contemplate. Contemplation is the highest form of prayer where our heart is beginning to be infused by knowledge and experiences that God gives us. But where do we begin? Self-knowledge. How? Simply by reflecting on God's goodness to her. That's literally what it says a little bit later. That we begin praying by reflecting on what God has done in our life, reflecting on the ways that God has acted in our day, the ways that we have fallen away from God, the ways that we have responded to grace, the ways in which we are in fact an image of God. So we don't begin prayer with God out there. We start with what we first have. If you think about it, that makes sense. We start here and then go there. But we don't go there. We stay here and we wait for God to arrive. Later on, he goes into this in more detail. But so that the person that was speaking was God the Father. So he's giving us instructions. This isn't just Saint Catherine of Siena. This is God the Father telling you how to pray. Stay in self-knowledge. Just pray about you and how, and the gifts that God has given you. And when you do all these things, what will happen? You will gain knowledge about yourself. You'll gain humility. You'll come to know yourself. One of the great maxims of the spiritual life is know thyself, And how can we know thyself unless we first meditate on who we are and pray about that and sit with that? Now, many of you can hear that and think, gosh, that seems sort of selfish. Shouldn't we pray and talk to God? But as we're doing this, we're basically seeing if God has made everything and we could see God in everything, in the flowers, in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, in earth, and other people, we first need to see God and what he has done in us. So this is acknowledging he has done things in you. He has worked in you. He has given you graces. And if you don't first understand that, you're not going to make much progress going outwards and seeing God in other places. Now listen to how she does it. The next section is how the desire of the soul grew when God showed her the neediness of the world. Listen to this. And when the morning came and the hour of the Mass, she sought with anxious desire her accustomed place. And with a great knowledge of herself, being ashamed of her own imperfection, appearing to herself to be the cause of all that is evil that was happening throughout the world, conceived a hatred and displeasure against herself and a feeling of holy justice, with which knowledge, hatred, and justice she purified the stains which seemed to cover her guilty soul. She said, O eternal Father, I accuse myself before thee, in order that thou mayest punish me for my sins in this finite life, and inasmuch as my sins are the cause of suffering, which my neighbor must endure, I implore thee in thy kindness to punish them in my person. Now, whenever we pray and come to knowledge of self, we're not always going to feel what she felt in that moment. But that prayer of seeing her own sinfulness and coming to repentance and asking God to purify her was the fruit of her remaining in self-knowledge, understanding herself, praying with herself, contemplating kind of who she is, meditating on that. And so she was doing that and then waiting for God to show up. That's a huge theme that she does, that when we pray, we need to be doing our own work, but also allow and give space for God to show up. He will in the most unexpected ways, and he will inspire certain things in our mind, which she's going to get into later. And when you understand this, you'll know, okay, God is showing up. It's time for me to listen. And this is, I think, what happens to people a lot in prayer. God shows up to your prayer, but you ignore him and continue doing your prayers instead of thinking, wait a minute, what am I praying for God to show up? And now that he showed up, I should stop praying and I should start listening. This is a massive defect that people have. So let's continue with some of the things that God reveals to her once he shows up. Now, this section is on how finite works are not sufficient for punishment or recompense without the perpetual affection of love. So this is here where God the Father will begin describing to her how we make atonement. Then the eternal truth seized and drew more strongly to himself her desire, doing as he did in the Old Testament. For when the sacrifice was offered to God, a fire descended and drew to him the sacrifice that was acceptable to him. So did the sweet truth to that soul, in sending down the fire of the clemency of the Holy Spirit, seizing the sacrifice of desire. Desire is extremely important here, that she made of herself, saying, "Dost thou not know, dear daughter, that all the sufferings which the soul endures or can endure in this life are insufficient to punish one smallest fault? Because the offense being done to me, who am the infinite good, calls for an infinite satisfaction. However, I wish that thou shouldst know that not all the pains that are given to men in this life are given as punishments, but as corrections in order to chastise the son when he offends. Though it is true that both the guilt and the penalty can be expiated by the desire of the soul, that is by true contrition, not through the finite pain endured, but through the infinite desire. Because God, who is infinite, wishes for infinite love and infinite grief. Infinite grief I wish for my creature in two ways. One way through her sorrow for her own sins, which she has committed against me, her creator, and the other way through sorrow for the sins which she sees her neighbors commit against me. Although their works are finite and done in finite time, but inasmuch as they possess a virtue of desire and sustain their suffering with desire and contrition and infinite displeasure against their guilt, their pain is held worthy. Okay, so I don't know if you understood all that, but this is what God the Father is telling her, that the primary way that we atone for the guilt and the penalty. The guilt is what can send us to hell, whether you're guilty or not. The penalty is what we need to atone for. That's what will keep us in purgatory. So for instance, if you confess your sins, you're not guilty anymore, but you still have penalty. You still have something that you have to atone for, make up. And he is saying here that when you have perfect contrition, perfect desire, you can atone for both. Without even flagellating yourself or even fasting or doing anything, that all the physical sufferings that we do to ourselves don't really have any value unless attached to them is this perfect contrition or desire. So much so that you may not necessarily even need that. However, you can use these to help you increase that desire. Sometimes people will ask, how do I make atonement for my sins other than just going through confession? Now, traditional atonement has been things like going on your knees, flagellating yourself, rolling around in thorn bushes, fasting, etc. Those things are finite. They're not infinite. What's infinite in us is our desire. Now, that's something it's just something that we're not used to hearing, but it's true. God the Father tells her so. So one of the ways that you can atone for your sins is through infinite sorrow for your sins, this intense desire that God values since it's coming from your heart and soul as something infinite. What does this look like, practically speaking? Praying before God, recalling the sins that you have done, recalling all these things, and then asking the Holy Spirit to stir in you infinite desire and infinite sorrow, and weeping over them. Weeping, that emotion, that desire atones for all of it, because you're doing it out of perfect love for God. Now you can add on to that, going on your knees, flagellating yourself, etc., but you add it only as an accessory, only to assist you. If we offer that to God, it's acceptable only in so much as we have this desire. When you pray, remain in self-knowledge, meditating on the things that God has done in your own life and your own littleness and sinfulness and humbleness. Wait for God to visit you. When he visits you and stirs your desire, offer to him that. That is what is most of value to God. Your infinite desire, your infinite sorrow, your infinite love. That makes everything else you do have incredible value before God. My friends, God bless you, and I'll see you in the next one.
Protect me, O Christ, from every evil thought. Warm me with your sweet love so that each burden seems light to me. My Holy Father and my sweet Lord, help me always in all my from every evil thought. Warm me with your sweet love so that each burden seems light to me. My Holy Father and my sweet Lord, help me always in all my endeavors. Christ's love, Christ's love, Christ's love.
to my heart by your power. Journey to you, God, and grant me charity with fear. Protect me, oh Christ.
From every evil thought, warm me with your sweet love, so